Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day, everyone. It's Joe Hackman on Blog Talk Radio, and I have just an amazing, amazing panel for you today. If you are calling in or listening live to learn about LinkedIn, I have three people that are power users of LinkedIn, including one gentleman who's actually written a book about LinkedIn. And so this should be a very, very informative hour here. And I'm going to go ahead and start by just briefly giving you, the listeners, my impression of the three panelists. Then I'm going to give the three panelists their opportunity to introduce themselves and see how well their brand has played through in social media and our brief conversations that we've had about participating on this panel today. So the first panelist that I arranged is Neil Schaffer. And Neil, I knew had written a book, and I knew he had contributed a chapter to another book about LinkedIn, and through a mutual friend, I had discovered that because I was actually given a copy of that book. And so Neil has an extremely strong networking, LinkedIn tips, that kind of thing brand. So Neil, think about how accurate I am there. Our second panelist that agreed to participate, and I'm happy to have her, is Lori Desitel. And I met Lori actually on a LinkedIn hangout. So Lori was an early adopter. She was really aggressively using Google Plus when it came out. And so I just happened to get to know her a little bit through that. And then one day she had said something about using a search string in Google to find people on LinkedIn. And I thought, wow. I just kind of put that in my memory banks, so I invited Lori. So likewise, Lori, think about how accurate I am with this. And then last but certainly not least is someone that I've really been interested in getting involved in one of these panels, and that's Lisa Gerber, who's the content the content manager for SpinSucks and for the, I guess, the Armin Dietrich properties. So Lisa uses LinkedIn to in a PR sort of capacity. So Lisa will have some unique perspective on that. So panelists, now tell me how right or wrong I am, and I'm going to start with Neil. Feel free to introduce yourself and let me know how well your brand came through via LinkedIn and social.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Joe. I'm actually sort of in the middle of renewing or adding a little touch to my brand. But yeah, the name of my website is Windmill Networking. I wrote my first book on LinkedIn called Windmill Networking, Understanding, Leveraging, and Maximizing LinkedIn. And it was, meant to be sort of a professional reference for those who were not used to social networking in an online context. So yeah, that's my original brand. What you don't know, because I'm still in the process of updating my website and what have you, is in late July, I came out with my second full book, which is a LinkedIn for Business book called Maximizing LinkedIn for Sales and Social Media Marketing. My background is high-tech B2B sales, biz dev, and marketing. So it's really applying my own near two-decade career to how to use LinkedIn for corporations as well as for others out there, sales professionals, biz dev, marketing professionals. So I got those two books out there. I speak to corporations, associations, conferences, and social media. And I also have my own consultancy called Windmills Marketing, where I work with companies on their social media strategy. So you got the networking part there, and that's sort of the base of my brand. But what I've been doing since I published that first book back in 2009 is really applying that to business problems, utilizing social media in a strategic way.
Awesome. Maybe we'll get a chance to actually put those skills to the test here in this call today. So, and now to you, Lori, how'd I do? And feel free to give your introduction.
Sure. My name is Lori Desitels, and I have not written any books about LinkedIn, but I've been an early adopter and joined in early 05 when it fairly was brand new, or a lot of, I guess, the first year. And I guess from the beginning, I started, what I do is, for the last 7.5 years, I started working I was a full desk recruiter. So I basically my job was to find people. and then now I have my own company where I internet source for recruiting departments, as well as I do recruiting, helping alongside, but mainly internet source through different search strings and through different websites, including LinkedIn. And I also do some training in social media with small companies and recruiting departments on optimizing, you know, basically how to build a strategic profile and continue building their network strategic and with, you know, quality, not just quantity. But LinkedIn, I started as a guinea pig, and I just wanted to find candidates that my competitors couldn't find. So I, you know, just jumped in, dived in, you know, full force, and just kind of been learning since the very beginning. I've read lots of articles. I've read a book by the infamous Bill Vick out of Dallas, Texas, who is very avid LinkedIn recruiter. But that is pretty much, she summed it up in a nutshell. So thank you, Joe, for the intro.
Oh, excellent. So I did well on that one. Very good. And now on to you, Lisa.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, you did great. My name's Lisa Gerber. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Spin Sucks, which is a blog directed at PR and marketing professionals, and our agency is Armit Dietrich. So regarding LinkedIn, I definitely use it for working and the other basic functions, but you put me on the panel with a guy who literally wrote the book on it. So I thought, well, how can I bring something different to the table? And I absolutely used in a PR capacity and have found it to be really helpful in terms of blogger and media outreach.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Nope, you gave me a clean finish.
Okay, cool.
That was the end of my thought.
Well, thank you. So now for the folks listening, and if you're listening live today, please feel free to ask questions. You can visit the Blog Talk Radio chat for the program. It's basically a link there, or it should show up right away when you're on blogtalkradio.com/Joe Hackman. That should show up there. Love to hear your questions, and I will try to monitor the Twitter stream in the midst of everything else as well for those questions. So feel free to just at me at HackmanJ with those questions. So panelists, I think for starters, I'm going to take something that's really kind of emerging, and I'm going to do a little bit of an instant poll here. And, I noticed recently that people are no longer my connections. They're my followers now. And so I want everybody to say thumbs up or thumbs down. Followers is better than connections. What was your first thought on that? What do you think of it? Neil, are you thumbs up, thumbs down?
I think these are all different communities. So there are some people that spend time on LinkedIn for purposes, some that spend time on Twitter, Google+, Facebook. I'm not in favor of one over the other.
So, but I mean, as far as, you know, how the connections now, on the user interface, it says, maybe they haven't rolled it out to everybody, but it says followers instead of connections. I don't know if you guys have observed that.
Yeah, I still believe in the connections, and there are, I was with my book, I was really into open networking and the potential of connecting with people that we don't know. And I think, you know, Twitter, even Google+, and now Facebook is sort of evolving into that. But there is still value in a connection, meaning in a business relationship, if you request an introduction, what have you, that the person on the other side will have a conversation with you about that and hopefully help each other out in a professional way. That just following means it's sort of like you're spying and looking at someone's updates instead of really having that personal relationship.
So that's a thumbs down.
For me, it is.
Okay. How about you, Lisa?
I say thumbs down as well. Connection kind of indicates a relationship of equality, whereas followers, kind of like what Neil is saying, it's, you know, gives it kind of a hierarchy. So it sounds like it's trying to be like Twitter. I don't really understand why they would migrate away from that. I like connections.
Okay, Lori?
I will third that, thumbs down. And I believe that LinkedIn is about building relationships. You know, people do want to have large networks. I think I mentioned that, but you want to build relationships within your network. And following is just, you know, I mean, we do look at many profiles, and it might be like hovering over, but that's more of like Twitter. I think that's for like people. I don't know what their purpose in doing that or trying that, but I think LinkedIn is all about building relationships and networking, and I think connections and contacts are the right word, and that should not be changed. So thumbs down.
I have to say I had a strong reaction to it as well, and it was a strong thumbs down. I thought it was really cheapened LinkedIn. I thought that, you know, LinkedIn is LinkedIn. It is what it is, and it can stand on its own. It doesn't need to imitate something else. And I thought that, but I wanted to get your guys' take. So it sounds like we're pretty much unanimous on that. So now let's segue over to some of the real world applications and some of the things. Maybe we can really give some people some really great suggestions on things that they can do with LinkedIn. And because you guys each have unique perspective, let's basically focus on your strengths. So, for example, let's start with Lisa. And Lisa, why don't you tell us a little bit about how probably maybe the top one or two tips or suggestions for someone who's involved in PR or marketing that can use LinkedIn, what those might be.
Okay, sure. Let's see. You know, and one thing I neglected to do in kind of my introductory statement is that not only do I approach it with a PR capacity, but also being a content officer for a blog, I receive a lot of queries from potential blog, you know, potential bloggers, contributors. So I also use SpinSucks to screen them for that. So my tips will include audience as well. But I rely on LinkedIn more than I realize because it's just a very standard way to check someone's background and their expertise really quickly and see links to all of their blogs and relevant websites. You know where everything is. I don't have to go to a website that I'm not familiar with and sound for different things. So obviously, you know, having a complete profile is really important. And just including thinking about the audience that you're trying to reach on LinkedIn and having that information very much available to us. If you are trying to find, you know, trying to get guest blogger, then you have samples of your writing right there, easily findable. So that would be one tip. And then a second tip on the PR side, when we're doing media outreach on behalf of clients, it's really just the same thing. And I actually use the advanced search feature quite a bit, and which is a little bit hidden. We use that to, you know, use keywords, and, you know, you can search by industry. So we're editing and writing industry, and then use certain keywords to find relevant writers in whichever topic we're looking for. So having those keywords in your profile is also very key to making you more findable.
Excellent. I think those are both really great suggestions. And I think based on the response, because of the fact that I mentioned that whole search string thing that Lori had mentioned, I think Lori's got a few tricks up her sleeve. So Lori, why don't you share with us a couple of your tricks, things that you might use LinkedIn for that maybe the typical user may not be aware of and could really benefit from.
Sure, thanks. You know, in recruiting, you know, I think probably that's the first industry that adopted, you know, use LinkedIn really heavily. And, you know, as anybody that's using LinkedIn, if you're not a third degree away, it's almost impossible to capture you know, you can capture possibly a name, but not a lot of information. So, you know, they have introduced LinkedIn Recruiter, which is, you know, pretty expensive if you're a mom and pop shop. So what I've done is I search from Google, and I told Joe that I could give him some, you know, strings at the end, because I'm not going to bore you with search strings, but you can actually do an X-ray search into LinkedIn through Google. 7-Eleven was a client of mine, and they, Joe DePinta, the CEO, was looking for a certain individual, and they really like to hire alumni from a certain college. And so, you know, there's an alumni group for that college that you could join, or university, but I didn't attend it, so I could not necessarily join that group. But using a search string with a couple of keywords and using the group name, you can pull up names and see information that you would not normally be able to see actually in LinkedIn. You know, there's a couple of different techniques that you can kind of gather information from the outside, as well as doing what a lot of people, what you might do now, is a lot of recruiters, if you pull up a really great profile, you're going to look and see who, have, you know, viewers have also viewed this person or this person. You know, LinkedIn events is a great, great place to find out, you know, if you're looking to for recruiters to hire somebody, or say there's a big, you know, niche industry event going on, you know, when you're making cold calls, you can mention, you know, so I saw that you were at, you know, the Biospace convention in Pennsylvania. How was that? You know, you can also see where they've been. Just there's so many different avenues, but there are some search strings where you can actually pull complete profiles from other search engines and look inside LinkedIn. So I can share all those with Joe, and I think he said he would send those out to everybody.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd be happy to share. I'd be happy to share it. I think it's a really useful capability that you have. So, Neil, now you're someone who's lived in the LinkedIn world very much to this point. So, I saved you for last because I wanted to give the other panelists a advantage. Just kidding. No, actually, it could certainly work both ways. But I just when you've got someone with Neil's broad experience, and certainly, you know, on the other side, we've got niche experience, which is really great. But Neil, maybe what you can do is bring together something that will give maybe a couple of things that are really overlooked about LinkedIn, maybe features or things that people should do that they're not doing. I know you produce a lot of tweets with tips, and you have a lot of things on your website, but I'm guessing there might be, you know, one or two things that people can do to really start to have a heavy impact. Why don't we start there?
Well, I think the first is a mindset, and don't get me wrong, everyone has offered really, really great advice. My hat's down to recruiters, because those early adopter recruiters like Lori know LinkedIn inside out, and when you're searching those Boolean strings, which I have no clue about, really do save time, and you're able to really get at details that you might not be able to get through the standard, you know, search functionality. So I'm just offering advice based on my own unique experience. But, you know, I think the first is a mindset that you have a clear objective as to why you're using LinkedIn. And, you know, when we talk about LinkedIn for business, people just automatically go to like Facebook or Twitter. And I keep telling people that if you're a B2B business, LinkedIn is where the majority of your sales and marketing efforts really should be. It's not just for job seekers. Don't get me wrong. You know, it has become the marketplace for both those seeking a job as well as for recruiters to find information. But there's also deals being done on LinkedIn every day. And when I wrote my book, to prove that point, I crowdsourced more than 15 case studies of how people develop and companies develop business on LinkedIn. So the first is a mindset that, you know, it depends on your objective. If you're looking for a job, you already know you need to be on LinkedIn. If not, you really need to think about it. The second thing is that even if you are in a B2C company or you have no need for LinkedIn, one of my former bosses recently asked me to give him a recommendation on LinkedIn. I immediately thought, okay, he may be changing jobs. And he says, no, it's just about optimizing my personal brand. And whether you like it or not, people are going to be pinging your LinkedIn profile for a variety of purposes. Even if you're, you know, happy doing what you're doing, you never know what tomorrow holds. So it's really in maintaining that minimal profile. And a minimal profile, you know, if you don't have any recommendations in your profile, I don't think, and you know, Lori can give her opinion on that from a recruiter perspective. I just don't think when looking at five different profiles where four have a few recommendations and you have zero, you have no photos, you have no paragraph about who you are and what you do, I just think that you're going to miss out on potential opportunities. So it's really about making a commitment and taking your profile seriously and doing the minimum things. You know, LinkedIn has that profile completeness meter up to 100%. I'd add a few more things to that. But, you know, having a photo, having a few recommendations, or not putting anything up there at all, because I think there's a lot of people, and I was recently looking, just a personal experience, looking for a real estate agent to do business with, and looking at their LinkedIn profiles, you know, one person had 25 different recommendations from people that he had sold to. He was a member of groups. He was clearly, you know, someone networking. And if, you know, if I want to do business with a realtor, I want to do business with a socially active person. And 80% of the realtors out there just had nothing, or it was very minimal. So it's common sense, but it's, you know, it's time to take it seriously. And you don't even need to be on a daily to do that. Just, you know, do a monthly check, but do the bare minimum to get it up to speed. The other last tip I'd add, and I know these are very elementary, but I think they bear noting, is that LinkedIn has doubled in membership over the last 2 years. When I wrote that book back in 2009, they were at 40 million, and now they're at about 120, 125 million. So you really should go back into your database, and if you haven't done it in a few months, upload it, because you're going to find new people. With the IPO, a bunch of new people join, and you want to make sure that you know, all the people that you should be connected to, you are. So get into the process maybe every 3 months of re-uploading your contact database, or, you know, your internet email or what have you, because more and more people are joining.
That's an excellent suggestion, and I appreciate all three of you guys actually provided some great insights. So let's actually poll both Lisa and Lori on the issue of recommendations, because I think that's a great, very important part of LinkedIn. So Lori, when you're from the recruiting standpoint, how heavily do you weigh the recommendations? How do you evaluate those?
No, that was a great point, which you brought up, Neil, is with, I think, in both looking at them and then also for your profile for receiving recommendations is, you know, if it's someone's dad or their best friend, I mean, I want to see recommendations from folks they've worked with, worked for, people who've worked for them, clients, I don't accept, personally do not accept recommendations from just anybody. I think Facebook has like a LinkedIn kind of similar app, and I think I have 50 plus or something, or 100 endorsements or recommendations. But I look at those very heavily. But actually, you know, who is giving the recommendation? And Neil made a fantastic point. You know, back when LinkedIn, you know, I guess the early days, a lot of people thought that having your profile on LinkedIn meant you were looking for a job. And it has grown and grown and grown. And, you know, now it's to the point where that is your professional, this is my opinion, your professional online profile, where you can list all of your old positions, your specialties, you know, answer questions, ask questions within your niche, have recommendations. I mean, you think about that as like having a resume plus your references. And there are so many people that are not looking for a job per se today, but you never know. And the thing about LinkedIn that I love is that, you know, you will work with someone 5 or 10 years ago, but they can find you 5 years later, versus, you know, changing cities and towns and you know, positions. It's a really great way to keep in touch with your old colleagues as well and grow your network. So a little bit on that, but you know, recommendations are amazing. But I think the quality of recommendations is really important.
Some excellent points there. So, Lisa, actually, same question.
Sure, I think I'll have an opposing viewpoint here. I don't give the recommendations a lot of weight. I take them with a really big grain of salt because you're obviously asking people that you... Is that coming from me, do you think, the feedback?
Actually, I think it might be, or it might be me, or it might be Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to be dialing in while you're answering, so.
Okay. You're obviously going to ask people that you know and that you know are going to give positive recommendations to do that for you. So I prefer, if I really want to dig in and get references on someone, is to look to see if we have a mutual connection, someone that I know that I can go ask on the side. You know, it's good. It depends. It really depends on how many they have and what it looks like and who the different people are in their positions. But I definitely take it with a big grain of salt.
Interesting. Okay. So I take it now, just a quick technical moment here. Is everyone hearing the echo?
Yes. Yes.
I am not, actually.
Oh, you're not?
I wonder if that means I'm out.
All right. Well, I might switch to the phone, but I won't drop you in that case, Neil. But are you hearing the echo when I'm speaking?
No, sir.
No.
Okay. It seems to have actually gone away. So
it does.
Good. Well, it's gone, so we can move forward. So we touched a little bit. You guys touched a little bit on groups, somewhat briefly, but. I think groups seems to be, I know it's a feature that I have grossly underutilized, and actually I will confess, I am not a LinkedIn power user at all. I would say for someone who is involved with technology professionally, I know I could do a whole lot more with LinkedIn. So I actually did a little test this week. I used a LinkedIn group to organize my my SOBCON kind of purpose group, which I was at the SOBCON conference in Portland this weekend. And Sunday we had a group that was just sort of rallying around a nonprofit trying to help them out. So I used the LinkedIn group to organize it. And I thought, you know, this is what I probably should be doing. So let's talk a little bit about using groups and the benefit of that and how we can really maximize that.
We had a group that was just sort of rallying around.
Okay. I think we're getting that from Neil. I think, Neil, you might need to close your browser. I don't know if you have a...
This is what you should be doing.
Am I muted out now?
No, I didn't mute you, but you're, if you had the browser open with the Blog Talk Radio site, okay. It'll actually feedback. On delay.
I'm all set.
Okay, cool. Thanks. So go ahead, Neil, on groups, your thoughts.
Well, one of the misnomers about LinkedIn is just put up a profile, you don't need to do anything else, and magically things happen, whether you're a job seeker or you're in business. And obviously, you make it sound and things may happen, but it's really about, and I don't want to overuse the cliche of the word engagement, but if you think about it, when I was writing my book, I thought, you know, there are groups, there are more than a million groups on LinkedIn. And when I tried to search on socialbakers.com for the amount of Facebook pages they had indexed, it was almost about the same number, maybe 1.4 million. But the biggest groups have over several hundred thousand people, as you know. I think LinkedHR being the biggest one with like 300,000 or 400,000. And there are very few Facebook pages for professionals where you have that same sort of professional networking that you can do there than you could on LinkedIn. So I consider LinkedIn the biggest open communities on the internet right now for professionals. So if it sounds compelling, it is. And don't get me wrong, that attracts internet marketers, that attracts spammers. But within that, there are groups, there are conversations where you can meet some great people, have some great conversations, learn, share your own expertise, which is going to help your own personal branding, and do business. And I've found business on LinkedIn groups. I think of all the case studies, the biggest area where people found business was on the groups. And all you need to do, and there's a strategy as to what groups to join, what have you, but you just put any keyword in search groups, and you're bound to find something aligned with whatever your objective is. So it does take time, like everything else in social media. It takes time to get to know people, and it's not going to be any different online as it is offline. So you need to pick your group and your conversations carefully, But, you know, with that objective and just joining a few conversations, even on a weekly basis, I think it's going to help you really rev up your networking activity for whatever objective you have.
Excellent. I think that's a great way to kick it off. So, Lori, how about you next? How do you use groups?
Groups, you know, when they first came out, and correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, but I think it was unlimited. You could join unlimited amount, and they've limited it to 50, which I think is a good thing. Groups are amazing, but, you know, like Neil said, is that, you know, I could put up a website with my profile, but am I going to, you know, generate traffic? No. I need to engage. And one thing I always say, and this is with all social networks, is a lot of people will set up an online profile and just, you know, continue to push out information about themselves or their company, or they're looking for a position, or they have, you know, positions in their field. But that's monologue to me. That's not dialogue. And groups are a fantastic way to engage with colleagues, with, you know, in my case, when you're recruiting, I join a multitude of different, I'll switch groups if I switch industries, if I'm working on a new position. I think I worked on a swine vaccine once and got into a swine animal health group. But the thing about that is that, you know, not everything that people post in groups, I mean, it's interesting, but some of it can be a bit redundant or boring. But engage in 2 to 3 groups, and some of them are quite large. I do also co-manage a group on LinkedIn that has 15,000 plus members. So, you know, sometimes it's hard when there's a lot going on, but I think participating and engaging, that's putting your name out there. So people are going to go, well, who is this Joe that keeps commenting on, you know, my posts and participating, you know, and that's engagement. So it's I think it's very important to not just join groups, but participate, and, you know, as well with the questions and answers, like Neil said. So 100%.
Excellent. How about you, Lisa? Practical use of groups. How are you?
Yeah, I use groups pretty heavily, like Neil and Lori. I agree that this is really where your LinkedIn participation, that's the meat of it, is engaging in that group side of it. And I've had some great success with some functions and less than, you know, great success with others. It's how you're engaging on the groups, I think, that is the key here. Are you helping people? Are you asking questions? And are you answering questions and actually helping people out? I found that doing things like sharing news doesn't really get you any interaction. And another thing that I've tried to do, well, first by answering questions and getting involved in the groups, and then sharing, like, for example, we host webinars and that kind of thing. I haven't had a lot of success with that. However, when I'm answering questions, it's incredible, the feedback that you get and the new connections. I go in and ask questions all the time that just help me do my job during the day, kind of thing. Then that's also where my media and blogger outreach happens. I've joined industry and niche groups for my various clients. So, for example, for a travel tourism-related client, I have a travel media group that I'm a part of. And if I am on there offering actual story ideas, I have had I've been really surprised, very pleasantly surprised with the type of response and connections and coverage we've received just from hopping onto groups. You know, I don't have access to a large media database that bigger agencies have, and I found that this has worked really well for that.
Awesome. All three of you guys, I have to say, great, great, great suggestions. I'm sitting here taking notes for my own use.
Can I just say, this is Lori, and that was really,
yeah.
A note on what about engaging and offering help. That is, oh my goodness, the response is overwhelming, and that's one thing that I personally, you know, I can't say for every single connection I've received, but if somebody invites me to join, you know, LinkedIn, I'll shoot them a quick message back, thanks for the invitation, or if they accept, vice versa, and the same, you know, goes for even if I was talking to somebody on a Hangout in Google Plus today, and they said, well, you've got, you know, 500 plus connections, which to a lot of people, that's a lot, but, you know, I have, you know, quite a bit more than that. that. I said, you know, listen, let's connect. If I can ever help you out or introduce you to someone, I'd be glad to. And just paying it forward and just having that, you know, mentality of how can I help you, how can I help you, it is amazing in return people who remember that and remember you and what you do further down the road.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think just in general, I would say that that's almost a universal rule of my life, or the way I look at life is, you know, a lot of times giving is one of the best things you can do in almost any situation. For whatever reason, it always seems to work out that way. Neil, so do you have anything to add or any kind of follow-up comments on any of the thoughts there?
No, I thought Lori added a great point, and that was when I wrote my book, it was this idea of windmill networking, that if we plug our windmills into this awesome grid that is social media, you know, if we need help, there are, you know, hundreds of millions of people out there and all the social media sites combined that may be able to help us. And just by us sharing a tidbit of information, you know, I broke my iPhone screen and I was at the Apple store today, and just someone, a friend on Facebook, just made a comment, hey, I have a guy that replaces a screen here for $50 in 5 minutes. Who would have known, right?
Wow.
And this was a friend who happened to see that. And it may not save me money, but it may save a lot because I already went there. But it could save a lot of people. So it's just, you know, it's sharing your expertise and that pay it forward, the idea of karma, that when you do something for someone else, it's going to come back in dividends. So I believe that's the golden rule for any site. But I will say, you know, we talked about LinkedIn groups. LinkedIn Answers is also a pretty compelling application. And I have one friend who is an engineer, and he recently was in transition, found a new job. And he literally, on the day job, you know, as an engineer in a pretty big company, he has two computer windows open at all times. One is his work email or work computer. The other one is another one that has LinkedIn Answers open. And once his boss came in and said, what are you doing networking on office time? And he said, no, if I have a problem, I know that I can ask a question on LinkedIn Answers and I'm going to get an answer. So once again, like groups, there are some spammers out there. There are people who ask questions and try to generate business. But if you find the right answer categories, and him being an engineer, maybe those are better. He's been able to use that as a great resource. So sort of thinking outside of the box, but always how can you contribute as well are the key things here.
You know, I just had a thought when you said that, Neil, about how there's always spammers there. There's always people asking questions. I got to feel like anybody that I want to do business with or would want to be involved with is going to see through that. I mean, it's just, in general, I wonder how these people that do that, it seems to me that it's going to be short-lived. They're not going to do it very long, because does that really work? Do any of you think that actually works?
No. Not eventually.
No. But, I mean, to what degree? I mean, do you think anybody actually gets clients by being a spammer or asking questions that are obviously self-serving questions on LinkedIn? Just seems...
I think it can produce immediate results. I mean, if you throw paper long enough, you know, on the wall, it's going to stick. But, you know, to me, LinkedIn is all about relationships. And that's not, in my, you know, just posting and spamming is not building relationships, and it won't last long.
Gotcha.
Forever.
Yeah, well, certainly would not recommend that. I'm surprised. Personally, I'm just surprised that it would work at all. I just feel like people are just so tired of the in-your-face, the email newsletters they didn't sign up for, and all the other stuff. It just seems like people are worn out. But so, Neil, now you brought up Answers, and I think that's another great thing to discuss, because actually Answers is one of the areas of LinkedIn that I have used from time to time, and I've been fairly impressed with the responses that I've gotten, but I'm assuming I would probably get better results if I spent more time using it. So maybe we can take on Answers and give people some kind of tips. So, I mean, there's the obvious things, like you're going to be looking at stuff relevant to your industry, relevant to your profession. Do you have any other suggestions? And since you brought it up, Neil, we'll start with you. Do you have any other suggestions on the answer side of things?
Well, the first general suggestion, and it goes into all of this, once you start engaging if you don't have a clear objective, social media, LinkedIn is not any different, can be a total time suck. So you really got to be clear about what you want to do. You know, maybe every day check out one or two groups, contribute some conversations. And with answers, it's really finding the niche category that best serves your objective. And there are, you know, 22 or 23 main categories, some categories of subcategories. You can subscribe to RSS feeds. And it's really just, you know, every morning part of your daily LinkedIn routine, what I would call, you check out your network updates, see if there's any ways you can help anybody in your network, see what's going on, check out a few group conversations, and you check out your answers category. And ideally, you want to own your answers category. If you can contribute compelling answers, which then become part of your brand, and you also help people. And I have seen for Google searches, I've actually seen LinkedIn answers sometimes come up number one, and some of those answers are from a few years ago. So those are being indexed by Google as well. I do think that you can play a role. Now, I will say that if somebody already gave the same answer that you're going to give, just don't do it. Don't you know, you're not really adding any value. If you can put a different angle on it, fine. But really, I'd say, you know, pick and choose your battles. But even through the art of asking a question, if you really have a business problem and starting to use it that way is a great way to test the waters. To be honest with you, I did an experiment with my first book, and I asked a question of, you know, do I need what antivirus software do I need for my Windows PC? And within 36 hours, I got something like 69 answers. And they were all from IT professionals. You know, they're trying to. There were some vendors in there, but I was looking for help, and it's just it can be pretty amazing. So it's something to definitely experiment with if you haven't. Maybe try by asking a question. And just, you know, like Lori said about the groups of, you know, joining a few conversations a week or a few groups, you know, try it out maybe once a week just to see what happens. But if you find the right category and the right people and you're able to add value, once again, it's another great way to develop relationships with other professionals in your niche.
Very cool. I like that. I would have answered that if I saw the question. How many said nod 32, Neil? Anyway, don't worry about it.
I ended up not installing, and there was only one person who said, you know what, you may not need it if you're a savvy user and don't click on things and what have you.
Very good. So, Lisa, how about you? Experiences, suggestions for answers?
Actually, I haven't used answers, so I have nothing to add, but that was really great information from Neil, so it's good to know.
Awesome. Lori?
Sure, yes, and just to kind of close with Neil, that was great. I like questions and answers, and he really made a very, very good point, is that LinkedIn can consume you, just like any other social network. I mean, you could spend all day going through, you know, groups and profiles and answers. What has worked best for me is to pick one thing out a day, you know, whether I answer a question or I, you know, I reply to a group message or I, you know, because it is time consuming. But, you know, another thing that's really neat is that whenever somebody asks a question and you answer it, they get to vote on which one they thought was the best. And then if they choose you, you have the availability to put that on your profile. And so if it, you know, would go under Joe's Q&A, you know, best answer, and it would show how many that you've actually answered and people have rated you number one in your niche. So that's, you know, kind of alongside with recommendations. You made a great point, Lisa. I don't weigh, like, you know, 100% on recommendations, just like references. Nobody's going to give you a bad recommendation. But with answers, you know, that is a way where they choose your answer from X amount. You know, Neil probably had the same answer with his virus, you know, but maybe got a great solution. I had asked the same question. That's funny. And someone said, just go with Microsoft Essentials. And I was like, wow, okay, that's simple. But so it kind of, for me, shows that you're engaging, but that's kind of like a bragging point on your profile that you can have. And then, you know, that looks good, especially for recruiters. You know, we look at things like that.
I like the concept of the niche dominance. If you're going to do it, make sure you're going to dominate. If you're going to actually be in there taking the time, and that's a really good point. We always have to kind of gauge what's the value, what's the return on this time, because obviously there's a bazillion things we could be doing. We could be, you know, checking out about a trillion things going on a given day. There's so much out there to do. So I'm going to try something a little different here. I've never done this before on my podcast, but I thought I would give you guys the opportunity to ask each other questions if any of you have thought, and wow, you know, that's curious that so-and-so does such-and-such, I'd like to ask them a question. Do any of you have questions for one another or questions that you think you just like general answers from the panel about?
I have a question for Neil.
Sure.
This is something that I started implementing about a year and a half ago, is do you, and after you've engaged with somebody on LinkedIn for, you know, a couple of messages, or you guys have exchanged, you know, things here and there, do you schedule a time where you pick up the phone and say, hey, let's introduce each other, let's talk over the phone 10-15 minutes, let me get a better feel about what you do, and let's just talk, and building, you know, your relationships another step further?
That's a great question. I know people that actually do that. Now, as I mentioned, when I first got started with LinkedIn, I was very much an open networker. And although I don't have that written on my profile, and I'm not going to accept all invites because there are just so many fake profiles, if it's a real professional, I will definitely connect with them. And I look at my connections, and it's similar to my Twitter followers, is if there is a need, or if they have a need for me, I'll bring that relationship into the physical and then call on them. For me, it's just the ability to scale with so many people in my network. It's impossible to do that one-on-one. What often helps with me is if I have a speaking engagement or a business trip somewhere across the country, I will reach out to all my connections in that city and try to get together for a networking event, see, you know, how many will come or if anyone's interested. And from that, I usually get dialogue. So I like to have a trigger point unless I'm connecting with them for a very, very specific reason. But if you limit yourself to say, you know what, I'm only going to accept, I get a lot of invites, I'm only going to accept from what I feel the most professional or the most, you know, up my alley person to connect with each day and schedule time to talk, I think that's a great idea. And to be honest with you, if they don't give you the time of day when you respond to that, and they don't, you know, they don't even respond to your request to set up a time to speak, they're not going to be much value in your network anyway, because if you ask for an introduction request or what have you, they may not respond at all. So I think it's the best practice if you can scale. And that's really the challenge I have. And I think a lot of people, once you get going on Google+ or on Twitter, you realize there's a lot of people out there that could follow you. And it's just it's really hard to give that one-on-one personalized touch unless you have an objective or a reason for getting in touch with them.
That's does that answer your
Thanks.
Question, Lori?
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Any other panel-to-panel discussion?
Sure. I have a question for actually both Lori and Neil. I guess I'm curious to know if LinkedIn, would you call that your primary social networking? I mean, it sounds like, Neil, you were just mentioning Google+. I mean, Answers, you know, you could be on Quora or Answers. I mean, there's so many choices. So would you say that LinkedIn is your primary social network for both of you?
You want to go first, Lori?
Sure. Yes. Professionally, yes. Socially, probably not. you know, when I'm looking for folks in a certain industry, in a certain niche, in a certain city, LinkedIn definitely is the number one way to go. And you know, Quora, some of the other competitors with the Q&As, I think there's a new one that was launched. You know, they come and go, but LinkedIn's been around for a while, and they just keep, you know, adding features. So, you know, I've like Neil, I started out just accepting all invites. I wanted to hit that 500 mark plus, you know, was in all these groups. I think my title was probably, you know, a whole sentence long. But, you know, I definitely have worked very hard to build my network. And so that's something that you have to continue to build. And professionally, I believe my personal opinion is that LinkedIn provides, professionally, that I guess if I'm looking – loss of words. It provides, you know, I'm not going to find a cool guy and that likes to surf. You know, I'm going to find someone who's skilled in, you know, cell culture, who has worked for, you know, a big bio and things like that. They might not put that on a social profile versus LinkedIn. So, I hope that does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't have a primary platform, but I will say, you know, and I don't want to give one of these cliche things a lot of people talk about, you know, but if I had to categorize all these, like when I speak to professionals who don't really know much about social media, you know, Facebook is the white pages, it's where everyone is, it's sort of fun. LinkedIn is the yellow pages, it's where all the decision makers are, where all the business people are. Twitter is the hyper-social world that I think really intersects with both of those. It's sort of all things are there, but this hyper-social atmosphere you have means if I find someone on LinkedIn I want to connect to or I want to somehow have a conversation with and they're on Twitter, I'll first go to Twitter to try to make that happen. Google Plus is still new. It definitely has some exciting functionality, but it's one of these things, unless enough people get there, it could become a niche thing in the future. I don't think that's going to happen. But, I often get asked, there's so many, what's the next platform? What's the next tool? And I say, look, you have it right in front of you. You know, Quora does not have 125 million members, although I do admit that Quora, if you're looking for specific information, it can be compelling. Google Plus as well. I mean, Facebook is still king because of the adoption rate. So I try to stick with where the people are. And the greatest tool, the greatest new tool out there is engaging with people you don't know. So, if you feel more comfortable in Google Plus, and it certainly is compelling, it's immediate, you can have longer conversations in a better way on Google Plus than you can on any of the other platforms. It really comes down to your objective and, in some cases, your own personality.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to answer your question too, Lisa.
Okay, I'm at YouTube, Joe.
No, it's okay. Actually, that's cool. But I was just going to say that my primary network is probably Twitter, really, and which is kind of funny because I jumped on Google Plus when it came out, but I just was taking a wait and see. And then, socially, of course, Facebook. But thanks to this wonderful panel today, I really think I need to spend more time and energy on LinkedIn. So kudos to you all for that.
Great.
Because I really think that for my purposes, a lot of what I do in social media is very social, though. It's not my podcast has no objective. There is no business benefit that's being strived to achieve. I have a podcast because I love having conversations with people. I love learning and I love connecting the dots and watching, interesting people, start to build relationships in my presence. So it's always fun for me. But I think my time in social, I think you guys have really given me a compelling argument professionally to invest more time in LinkedIn. So thank you for that.
Great.
So any further questions, panel to panel?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Neil?
I have a question for Neil again. This is Lori. Where do you see LinkedIn in, say, 2 or 3 years with everything that's coming out and different platforms you can use professionally? Where do you see LinkedIn building and growing? Where?
Yeah, that gets back to how I answered my first question, which is so much that we need to do now. I don't have time to think of the future. Twitter, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, all these things may evolve into other platforms. There may be buyouts. Yahoo decides they want to give it another run. They end up buying out LinkedIn. I don't know. But I think that core functionality that we're more connected now, that we're more social, means that, with the emergence of Google+, definitely Facebook has had to respond to that. A lot of people say, well, we're going to be spending less time on Twitter and moving over to Google+. The funny thing is no one really mentioned LinkedIn, and LinkedIn really has established itself as the place where you have a professional social presence. And for that reason, if there's one, unless they sell out to whatever company, if there's one that I think has a great business model being supported by recruiters and Fortune 500, HR departments, and now with display ads and with the emergence of companies creating groups and with B2B social media marketing and the importance of LinkedIn, I think it's a pretty strong model that, everybody's going to try to get business from Facebook. I know social networking sites in Asia that are scared and they're actually teaming together. There's actually a Japanese, Chinese, and Korean social networking services that are teaming together to share APIs to try to fend off Facebook. I don't see people doing that with LinkedIn. You have, Zing in Europe, but I think LinkedIn already has more users than them in Europe. So I think they're the most solid one out there, and they're also the only one that's listed publicly, so that gives them access to a lot of capital.
Awesome. Lisa, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, plenty. Neil touched on this, but I've always thought of LinkedIn as the sleeper social network. I mean, I don't even realize how much I rely on it in my day-to-day work. It's if you're not on it, it just really clouds your personal brand, in my opinion.
That's a great. I like that sleeper social network. I think that's really a very fitting title because it did kind of sneak up and break a million users with little fanfare, actually.
Yeah, it's not a fun, it's not like Facebook where we're all having fun and we're talking about it, but it's just, it's there, it's underlying everything, and it's really a pivotal part of all the online work. So I love it.
I have a comment from Ginny, Ginny Dietrich, actually, who some of you might recognize that name. Lisa works with Ginny, so that's why. But she said a really great idea is telling people you'll be in their city and create a mini event. So, and certainly you could apply that to LinkedIn and Twitter and other things, but really LinkedIn because it's very geographic. If you're looking to connect with specific people, you can certainly do that. Sounds like Lori has.
Joe, that's a great point. And there's different tools, like one that I don't travel as much as I used to, but TripIt is an app that you can add, and it's phenomenal. I would check that probably once a week because I've met probably I'd say 7 people that I've worked with since I've joined LinkedIn, who either I've been in their city or they've been in Houston, and I've sat and had coffee at a layover at Intercontinental Airport. So, that's awesome. And then the mini events, that's a fabulous idea. I've never heard of anybody just creating like a mini event. And to go back, Neil, you made a fantastic point. LinkedIn was basically the first, and it's social, but it's more professional in my book. I know it's still a social network, but nobody has really said, what about LinkedIn, with Google Plus coming out and all the buzz. I think it's because they're so established and they have gone public, they are public, and you made a great point. And I'm not going to say that I haven't jumped on the bandwagon and tried other things, but, kind of what you said in a nutshell is why quit working, quit using things that work for you. And that was great. So I just want to... Thank you.
I wanted to add on Ginny, so I know we're running out of time. But, yeah, that's exactly what when you go on a business trip or something, and I've actually blogged about this twice, a year ago, 2 years ago, once I was in Portland and once I was in Toronto, create a LinkedIn event. A networking tweet up, search for Yelp for popular places for large groups of people or look at where networking events happen in the city. In Toronto, I had about 300 connections because I'm an open networker. I sent it out to all 300. I had about 45 people show up, but there were two women who were graceful to set up the place and get the word out. And I met some great people that night, and we've developed a lot of relationships from that. So, yeah, bring them into the real. And if you're on a business trip, I call it windmill networking, whatever you want to do. But, yeah, reach out to those people. And
so,
it's a great way to connect.
So if any of you do this, including you, Ginny, who's listening, if you're going to be in the Bay Area and you want to do this, you let me know. It sounds like fun.
That would be fun.
Have a tweet up.
There you go. So, we are winding down. We just have a couple of minutes here, and it doesn't – luckily, it just doesn't get cut off right at the hour, so we're not going to cut anybody off. But I love to give people an opportunity to tell us what's going on with them, personally, professionally, whatever they are excited about or interested in. At the time, we don't really have a lot of time, so if you could keep your responses to like a minute or less, that would be wonderful. But what's going on with you, Lisa Gerber? What's exciting? What do you want to share with us?
Oh, nothing. I'm only kidding. Well, as I mentioned, so I'm the Chief Content Officer for SpinSucks, and I've been very focused on SpinSucks Pro, which is a professional development site for PR and marketing professionals. We're building content and getting ready to launch very soon. And you can, our blog is SpinSucks.com. That's where all the information is right now. So that's the big news professionally. And just to take my last 30 seconds really quick on didn't give me a good idea. I mean, one other creative way for LinkedIn that I just wanted to throw in is that summary section gives you an opportunity to really be sort of free form and put in anything that you want. And ask for what you want for. If you're looking for something specific, put it in there. So that's my one last tip, even though you didn't ask for that. I wanted to provide. Like, for example, I want to do work with clients in France one day. So I actually have it written in there. Who knows?
That's awesome. You're like your professional bucket list.
Exactly.
So, Neil, take it away. What's going on? You got another book out? Whatever.
Yeah. I just came out with that second LinkedIn for Business book in late July. So I am two-thirds done with my third book, which would be a Twitter book. I'm really excited about that because there's this either you get it or you don't get it, and there's this huge gap, and I really want to help people embrace it because it's been a magical site for me, as I'm sure it has been for all of you. And I'm actually going to see some exciting announcements. I'm actually going to be joining one, potentially two, social media agencies as their executive in charge of strategy. So excited to be working as part of a larger team and trying to help Fortune 500 companies with not only the strategy but the execution of their day-to-day and campaigns and social.
Sounds pretty sweet. Awesome. And last but not least, Lori, what's going on?
I know we're out of time, and I have my own company, Blueprint Resources. I continually work on recruiting. I do split positions with folks, but as well as doing sourcing projects and recruiting projects, I'm also working with a couple of large companies and beta testing a few social media, some of the products that they're launching. So that's been fun to get be on the cutting edge of that. So you know, recruiting it does the same day, it does the same thing different day. So just looking and doing it and just keep going. So anyways, thanks.
Cool. And just maybe if you could all shout out your Twitter handles or the best place for people to find you. So in case they have any questions, they want to reach out to you. Go ahead, Neil.
Well, website windmillnetworking.com, one word. And Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, it's all Neil Schaefer, NEALSCHEFFER.
Lisa?
Website is spinsucks.com, and I'm at Lisa Gerber on Twitter.
Awesome. And Lori?
Best is at Lori Desitels on Twitter, and that will take you to a link that will link you to everything else.
Awesome. And I'm at HackmanJ on Twitter, and I'm actually going to put a episode summary of this on joesgonesocial.com, which is my personal blog. And I have other episodes there if you want to check them out. But I want to thank the panel for just an awesome 62 minutes of just great LinkedIn stuff. You guys really exceeded my expectations. So I
cool.
just want to thank you for taking the time and sharing.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thank you for asking me.
Awesome. Well, you all have a great day, and thanks for everybody for listening.
You too.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Bye.